Some of you may remember back to August when I preached about how I broke up with my fiancé, the man who, by the time that you see this, should be my husband. For those of you who weren't in worship that day, it was 3 years ago, not too long after we had started dating and about a year before we were engaged. Obviously, we're still together now. But a few years ago, I thought we were better off friends. I had my reasons at the time, but a few months after we broke up, I realized that the reasons I cited for the breakup were only a fraction of the reasons that I had really made the decision, and that the main issue was all my own, and it was tied to my grief. To understand, you need to know Philip and I started dating about 7 months after my first husband, Brady, died. And while I had wondered at the time if it was too soon, I knew I was interested in seeing where this could go with Philip. But as we neared the one-year anniversary of Brady's death, I just couldn't shake the feeling that I was somehow cheating on him, even if I knew that I wasn't. It was as if my heart had not given up on what had been and longed for the dream of what was. Much like the Israelites after they had been exiled to Babylon. By the time we get to today's story in Jeremiah, the Israelites have been in exile for a while, pushed out of their home in Jerusalem, where many of them watched the temple that was central to their faith be destroyed. And then, with the temple's ashes fresh in their memory, sent to live in a foreign territory in Babylon. Everything was different. Different people, different language, different gods and faith traditions. Just generally a different way of being. While it's difficult enough to be displaced and away from the familiar territory of home, it was that much harder for people who had always found refuge in knowing that God was near them in the temple in Jerusalem. To know that that was where they could find God's presence whenever life was terrible and difficult. Now they were far away from both their homeland and the home that was God's presence. It's no wonder that the people dreamed of going back, never settling into Babylon because they hoped they could just pick up someday and head home. They dreamed of the sweetness of rebuilt homes and a new temple in Jerusalem, where they weren't surrounded by foreign languages and foreign gods. They dreamed of what was, just as I did 3 years ago. And I imagine some of us still are. Because we saw the rise of the Delta variant just before sending our kids back to school in person, now we hear about European countries experiencing new surges of COVID, combined with our weariness of this ever-fluid, socially distant life, I imagine there are many of us who are still dreaming of what was only a few years ago. We want to go back to hugs without worry, family gatherings at Thanksgiving without worrying about who's vaccinated, who's not, a time absent with the anguished decisions made about those vaccines. We long for more face-to-face interactions without masks, to prevent us seeing each other's smiles and faces. Or maybe even having to worry about whether we have a mask when we've left our house. We wish to return to our regular patterns of worship, play, school, maybe even work, those without precautions or masks. And while all of that I imagine will come, I also suspect that some of us long to go back to exactly how it was. Wondering if we'll return to our usual three services here at Faith, the way that church used to be. I know that in my most exhausted moments, I too long to go back. I dream of what was. To be with people on a Sunday morning, to have a full sanctuary at Christmas Eve, to be here without stressing about making sure people sign up in advance or how many people we can safely have in here, wondering if we need to stop singing or if we should start shortening the service because of exposure. I want to go back to large parties and feel safe standing with a large group of people indoors, never questioning if the invisible enemy is lurking among us. And I want to go back to making some plans without the expectation that I will need to change them 5 times before they happen. I'm sure I'm not alone. We dream for what was, much the same way the Judean people did. And yet, God tells the people that they need to plan a funeral for their dreams. Instead of dreaming of what was, expecting to return very soon, God wants them to wake up to what is possible right now. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they will bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. Multiply there and do not decrease, God says, not just in number, but in your very being. God tells them to put their dream of returning to what was to rest, and then to focus on the ways that they can truly live right now in Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. What is good for the place you are will ultimately be good for you too. This is your life now. Embrace it. 3 years ago, it was that simple phrase that allowed me to put to rest the dreams of what was and live into what is and what could be. A couple weeks before the 1 year anniversary of Brady's death, I recalled a conversation that I had had with someone else about their own grief for a loved one, in which they said that the first year had this sort of novelty about it, just trying to get through the first of everything. But that second year was when it got really real, beginning to understand that those firsts will morph into seconds, fifths, and fifteenths. There's a finality to the knowledge that this person is never coming back. I thought about that and how much that mirrored my own feelings of the first year. And looking ahead toward the second year without him, I was feeling the weight of how final it was. I realized, this is my life now. Brady's never coming back. It seems silly because, of course, I knew that all along. But something about saying it, even just to myself, allowed me to accept it in a way that I hadn't before. It allowed me to move into what could be. Allowing my dream, as unreal as it was, to unravel was what allowed me to accept that this is what my life is now. It helped me to see the kind, generous, amazing man I love who was still there and that I wanted to be with him. And that I am immensely lucky to have been loved by two such men in my life. This is our life now, COVID and all. We have been changed by this pandemic and there's no going back to what was. Sure, some things will return or remain the same, but many, many other things will be different. People have moved and relocated while others are still making plans to do that. Others have changed jobs. Some of us have lost loved ones and friends. We've all learned to operate in new ways. And now I believe that God's call to the Judeans then is God's call to us now. To seek the welfare of our community, and in its welfare, we will find our own. Because the more that we care for each other amid this, choosing to be vaccinated and then boosted if we can, finding creative ways to be together safely, to maintain the human contact that we are made for, being kind to each other and caring for each other's emotional and mental well-being, embracing the need to support one another through major life transitions, and then finding a way through this together. Seek the welfare of our community, and in its welfare, we will find our own. And in doing so, we may be open to the new possibilities that present themselves. New ways of being in the world, new blessings to behold, and possibly begin to see, just as the Judeans did, that God has not abandoned us. God did not only reside in the temple in Jerusalem, but God had also gone with them into exile, having plans made for them, plans for their good. God does not reside only in our joy or in those things that we have known God in previously, but God also resides very much in the shadows of our lives. And God is with us now. We are not alone in this. God is and always will be present with us. No matter what life looks like, no matter how much it feels like home or how foreign it is, God is here. Healing, creating, providing, creating life out of death. Teaching us how to grieve both the losses of our lives and our lost dreams so that we can move into new ways of being as the world changes around us. Very much aware that we are never alone, that even when no others are present, God is. No matter what.